We're doing the Rambam's letter to Rabbi Pinchas Adayan. We're up to page Tech Mem Hein, the Shilat edition, the letter Gimel. Katavta bichtav echad. You wrote in one letter, Shani amalti b'rabim alecha, Sheploni Dayan Alexandria, Nitbarli Shino Yidea Klum, that I said publicly about you that so-and-so, the judge of Alexandria, I verified he doesn't know a single thing. Veino b'kib chochmat chachmei Talmud, and he doesn't, he's not well-versed with the wisdom of the wise men of the Talmud. And you asked me, what have I verified about you that I said such things about you? And I asked you a few questions. I didn't get any response. Till here I'm quoting what you said. And also in the most recent letter you wrote, please teach us the things that elude us that I've asked your honor. Meaning, you're referring to previous questions that you've asked me. That Ushma tshuva lakol. So listen, I'll tell you the answer to everything. Davar ze meolam lo amarti alecha. I never said such a thing about you. Sheini omer sheker, because I don't lie. Lo benusach ze v'lo benusach acher. I didn't say it in this way or in another way. I didn't say what you said I said about you. I never said that. Aval hayu sham miktzat dvarim, kach hayu. But I'll tell you, there was something, and this is what happened. I got a letter from this person, whoever that is. And he said that you ruled in the court case between him and his son-in-law that the son-in-law should take this golden ornament that has an engraving on it, and that's going to be Nichsei Tzon Barzel, and the son-in-law can do whatever he wants. Afilu ratza shilech bo limdina acheret, hoil v'uchayav b'achayutan. And that even if the son-in-law wants to go to a different country with it, he could, being that he's responsible for that ornament, so he could do whatever he wants with it. V'cheman shevi acholi l'chatono mipnei din ze, lo ratza chatono likach. And when he came to give this ornament to the son-in-law because of your ruling, so the son-in-law didn't want to accept the ornament, the gold. The son-in-law said, take it. I don't want to be responsible for it. If I'm going to have to give it back at the end of the day, so the fact that I could hold on to it for the course of our marriage, I don't need the responsibility. And that you ruled that the son-in-law is right, and that we force her to abscond, to take off the responsibility, and that she should take hold of whatever she owns, the wife, and the husband doesn't have to take responsibility for her property. Meaning the father and the daughter, the father wants to give the daughter precious gold, and the son-in-law says, keep your gold, I don't want to be responsible for it. If you're giving it to me as Nichsei Tzon Barzel, if you're giving it to me, there are two types of assets in a marriage. There's assets which are Nichsei Tzon Barzel, where the husband could do what he wants with it. Let's take a building, for example. The husband could rent it out, he could do whatever he wants, but at the end of the marriage, if he dies, or if they get divorced, he has to give it back at that value. So that's called Tzon Barzel. It's like metal sheep. The sheep don't lose their value. He's responsible for them. He's got to give them back. Then there's Nichsei Meluk, which is a situation where you say, let's say she owns an apartment building. The building is hers, meaning the property is hers, but the profits it makes are his. So he's not responsible for the value at the end of the marriage, but he could take the profits during the course of the marriage. Let's say she has a field, he could harvest the field, but he's not responsible to give back the field. She's responsible for the property, he gets the profits. So those are two ways of dividing assets in a marriage. So the father says, I'll give the gold jewelry as Tzon Barzel. He's responsible to give me back this gold jewelry as is. The husband says, I don't want it. Keep it. Give it to her as Nichsei Meluk. Let her, you know, she could have it. It's hers. I'll just take the profits. There are no profits from gold jewelry. Fine, but I don't want the responsibility of the gold jewelry. And you ruled that the son-in-law is right and that she has to remove his responsibility and take it back. This is what the father-in-law quoted to me that you ruled. I wrote back to him, I don't believe that the judge, that you, Rabbi Pinchas HaDayan, I wrote back, I don't believe you ruled this way. And if he really said that, then you get witnesses that testify he said that and send it to me. So he sent me back a letter with testimony from these two people. That you ruled that any woman that wants her husband, that her husband wants to give her back the nedunya, he wants to tell her everything you brought into the marriage, take it back. I don't want to be responsible for it. That he's entitled to do that.
This is after he accepted her.
Right. This is in during the course of the marriage. He could say, I don't want responsibility anymore. Take it back. I was shocked. And there was the pious judge there with me. There were 3-4 other judges with me. So I showed them this letter, the testimony. Everyone was shocked. I told them, don't be so shocked. These Frenchmen, even the wisest among them, they're living among the uncircumcised ones. And even the smartest isn't really so well versed in the laws, because they don't deal so much, they don't judge so much in the monetary laws. Because the uncircumcised ones, the Christians, don't let them hold court. Just the Muslims let us have our own court, but the Christians don't. So that's why the rabbis in the Christian territories, they don't have to rule so much, so they're not dealing with these laws on a daily basis. So when a question comes to them, being that they're not dealing with it all the time, they're not as well versed at it. So don't be so shocked that he got it wrong. And when suddenly a question comes up, they have to rule. It takes them a long time. And they don't know it off the cuff. They have to open up the Talmud and look around. Just as we would do, if someone would come to us today and ask us about sacrifices, we don't deal with that on a daily basis. We have to open up the Talmud and start looking. Because we don't deal with it all the time. In the days of the temple, when they would deal with it, everyone knew the laws off the cuff. No one had to look for it, no one had to search. Just as those who live in Muslim territories, when it comes to ruling on monetary matters, we're dealing with it all the time, so we know it. Even the disciples are already accustomed to how you rule, because it's a common thing by us. The one who knows will testify, meaning God is testimony that this is what happened. I haven't added or detracted. I didn't say you don't know anything. I didn't say you're a fool. What I did say was I wondered how come they gave me testimony that you gave such an erroneous ruling. And in commenting to the other judges, I said, don't be so shocked. They don't deal with this as much as we do, so they can make mistakes like this. So that's what I said. I didn't say everything else you said. I didn't say anything that bad about you. I didn't say that you don't know anything. I didn't say that you don't know Talmud. That's not what I said. I said that in these areas you don't deal often. And so, okay, so you got it wrong. And that which you said, you've asked me numerous questions that I did not reply. I swear, I don't know of any question I received that I didn't answer. The only question is, I was asked, when I was ill, they asked me about kiddushin. When one engages a woman using money or something of value, shamati shen mi divrehem, that I wrote in my work that it is rabbinic. So that's a question I received that I didn't answer because I was ill. At the end of this letter, I'll answer you about that. ולא ראיתי שאלה כלל ממך אל אותן השאלות של ברכת הירוסין שהקניתוני מחזרתן כמה פעמים עד שאמרתי לך כבר הודעתי חדעתי ומה שתרצה עשה. The only question I know of is the question that you kept asking me over and over again about the blessing of Eirusin, and I answered you and you asked again and I answered you and you asked again until finally I got fed up and I told you what I think, do whatever you want. וכן שאלה של גט לאיש שאמרת שהוא פסול מפני השליחות, and also you asked me the question about that get that you disqualified because the messenger wasn't appointed properly, וכתבתי לך שהוא כשר, and I wrote back that no, it's a kosher get, והראיתי הפרש שיש בדברים, ודחית בזרוע, and I showed you the difference why in this case it should be kosher, and you refused to accept what I said. You pushed off what I said. ואמרת עדיין לא ידעתי מאיזה טעם הוא כשר. And you wrote back, I still don't know why you say it's kosher. שתקתי ונכתיב, so I stayed quiet. I wasn't about to argue with you anymore. I let it go. וכן דרכי תמיד עם כל אדם. Oh, what a beautiful line now. The Rambam says, this is the way I always do things. Any person שראה אותו עומד בשטותו ואינו רוצה לחסור בו, I see him stubbornly sticking to his foolishness, and he does not want to turn back on it. Eshtok v'anichenu b'rtzono. I go silent and I let him go the way he chooses. Kach darki leolam. This is how I always do things. If you'll see my copy at home of the Rambam's letter, this letter has so many pivotal points. I underlined a few lines in this letter, and these two lines are underlined by me. This was the Rambam's motto. I tell a person, he doesn't want to listen, so I just say, stay quiet. My rabbis did the same thing. That's what I've seen. It makes it a little difficult, because sometimes you have an honest question, but you're scared they're going to interpret it that you're being stubborn your way. Meaning to them, it's so obvious that you're wrong, but to you, you don't understand. It makes it a little difficult. But it is interesting that that's the way the Rambam says. Lo yadati klal sheila sheba li b'davar acher. I don't know of any other question that came to me. Shema avad haktav ve lo higya liyadi. Maybe it got lost. Maybe I never got the letter. Vata tola atzmecha leashiv al ma shelo yadati. And you're already taking the next step, and you're already answering me. Maybe you didn't. You're saying that I didn't answer you because I hold something against you, but I don't even know what you're talking about. You're already taking the next step. You're trying to figure out reasons for something which I don't even know about. Maybe I got your letter and I don't remember. But nonetheless, hey, you could ask again. I love this part of the letter. It shows us how human the Rambam was. He says, I never got it, and you're getting all upset at me. And maybe I did get it and I don't remember, but you could ask again. You know, very down to earth. People sometimes think that a big rabbi remembers everything. People have these fantasies that he's an angel. Yeah, maybe he's a nice person. Maybe he's angel-like. But he's a human. And the Rambam says, yeah, maybe I forgot. מכן כתבת לי בעניין האלמנה עם יתומיה. You also wrote to me about the widow and her children. שדנתי אני שאינה חייבת שבועה לחצר, that they had a quarrel about the yard, who inherits the yard, and I said that she doesn't have to take a vow with regard to the yard. עיצמת אתה הדברים, ועשית אותם טענה, וכתבת בכתב זה. You strengthened what she had to say. You worded it as though she has a claim. And this is what you wrote. האלמנה שהיא טוענת שנמכרו נכסיה בפחות, etc. You ask like this, if the widow has a claim that the property was sold at a lower value, etc. ולא הייתה שאלתם שהדבר טענה, but the question really was not a question where the widow has a claim. You worded it that way, but that's not true. She didn't have such a claim. וכן פרשתי אני בתשובתי, so that's what I explained in my answer. ואמרתי, הואיל ונודע בוודאי שחצר זו נלקחה מנכסי הנדוניה, being that it's known that this courtyard was purchased with the property, with the assets of the Nidunya, that the Kala, that the widow, when she was married, she brought those assets with her into the marriage. V'iktuva bishma v'iduala, and it's written in her name, and it's known to belong to her. Eina tzicha shvua, she doesn't have to take a vow that property is hers, shachatzor b'chizkatai, because that property was always assumed to be hers, and it remains in that assumption. Eina b'chizkatai tomim, it's not in the assumption that it belongs to the orphans. Everyone always thought it was hers. It was purchased with her money. It was everyone knew it was hers. So she doesn't have to take a vow that it's hers. ואמרת לי מפני מה חתמו הדיינים ממך אתה נתלה בהן או אין תלויים בך. You wrote back to me, why, when I signed the letter, did I have other judges sign the letter with me? Do I need them or do they need me? What am I getting their signatures on my letter for? I wrote you a letter, what am I adding their signatures? Emet amata, you have a good point. Ugriuta ili. And really, it does detract from me the fact that I added their signatures to my letter. אבל כתבו להם אלכסנדריה, שאם תכתוב לבדך, יאמרו הדיין לפקחים או לשופט, פלוני אומר כך ואני אומר כך, מי מכריע? לא יעשו לנו דין. But they told me in Alexandria that if I just write my letter and sign it, so then the government judges, when they have to enforce the law, so then they'll tell them, well, our judge ruled this way, and Maimonides ruled that way. It'll be as though we're equals. And then they're going to say, who's to decide? You asked me a question. Obviously you want my answer, and you hold that my answer should be the ruling for the widow and the orphans. If I would have just written my answer, so then the orphans could have come to court and claimed, well, our rabbi says differently. And that would have been me versus him. And then the courts would have said, who's to decide if Maimonides is bigger or the other one is bigger? Lo yasu lanu din. Then they won't rule. They'll say, we can't rule in such a case. We don't know what your religious practices are. V'im yu achotmim rabim, nimtzahu yachid ben arabim. But if I have other signatures with mine, so then I give the weight, the legal weight in your country, so that the opponent of this ruling will be considered by the courts as an individual, and my opinion will be given the weight of the masses. V'chavan sheyadati shekachu dinem be'emet, being that I knew that in Alexandria this is exactly how the courts work, ראיתי למחול על כבודי כדי שיצא הדין לעמיתו. So I added their signatures to my letter, even though really it's a disgrace for me, you know, it's my letter, what am I need their support. You're right, I don't need their support, but in order to help the truth come out, so I forewent my honor. והתימה הגדול שאמרת בכתבך, ולמלא לא הייתה מפחדת מן השבועה, לא הייתה נותנת ליתומים שום רווח, אבל אתה הוסיפו להם נון דינרים, אלו נוסח דבריך. And I was shocked that you wrote that if she wasn't scared of taking a vow, she wouldn't have given the orphans any profit, but now she gave him another 50 dinars. This is what you wrote. ואני יודע איך יאמר חכם כמותך דברים אלו. וכי מי הוא רשע שלא יפחד מן השבועה. אין זה לדבר תימה. You seem to say that there's something wrong with her that she's scared of taking a vow. She's right to be scared of taking a vow. Only a wicked person views a vow as something that he could take on easily. She's right. A normal person is scared of taking a vow, and she's right to fear taking a vow, and even if it costs her a little bit of money. So I don't know what you wanted. Okay.